Deuteronomy chapter 5 and reading together from verse 6 is a repetition to a large extent of what is given in Exodus chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 6 reads like this. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honour thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbour, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbour's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbour's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbour's. Amen. God bless the reading of his holy and perfect word. Now we are looking at the title of the law, Using the Commandments Today. And tonight is very much just a short introduction. We are going to consider these commandments, and the commandments bring together for us like a perfect summary all that God requires of every one of us, all the time. And although the commandments are short, and although they're quite easy to remember, at least the basics of them, they still manage to cover every aspect of your life and my life and everybody's life. And they manage to cover every moment of every life upon the entire planet. The commandments always govern us and keep us and hedge us about. Now this is, as we say, just an introduction. Most of us have travelled some distance a day, and it's best to keep it as straightforward as we can. So what are we going to be doing over the weekend, and especially tomorrow? We are not going to be going through the commandments one by one, all 10 in their order. We will, of course, deal with them, but not like that. It was quite tempting, certainly, to go through the commandments one by one. I've done that recently in my own congregation, and it's very beneficial. But today we're instead going to be thinking about using the 10 commandments. That is what you're going to get tomorrow for most of the day, using the commandments. But you can't use the commandments until two things are in place first, and it's these two building blocks we want to get in place tonight. First of all, you have to know them, and then you have to be able to know that they apply today to your life. You have to be able to remember them, and you have to be able to be sure that they apply to your situation. And so our first priority this evening is to make sure that you all know the Ten Commandments. And I came across a memory aid on the wonderful World Wide Web. It's not original, it's not copyrighted, and I feel free to use it. It's not my usual style, and you'll pardon me if it seems a bit strange, but I think it might be helpful. I think most of us will be able to answer the question, how many commandments are there? Hopefully we'll be able to say 10. But who here can recite all the commandments in the right order from beginning to end? Well, this might help. At least remember what commandment comes when. Sometimes we know the commands. We sat down with a pen and a paper. We'd get there with all 10 eventually. We might not know which one comes where, or it might take us some time. So, not used to doing this, but I have 10 fingers and there are 10 commandments. And we're going to try and use the fingers to try and remember the commandments. First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. One God to worship, one true God, one living God, no more than one. First commandment, one God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now, what is a graven image? It means an idol, something that stands in the place of God, something that you use even to direct your worship to a physical object instead of to God, in God's name, or just something else other than God entirely. That in your life has become an idol to you. That is most likely the application today. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. So in two, the second commandment, not two, just one God. Two is too many. So your second finger reminds you that two is too many. Third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It means that you're not to use the name of God, the Father, Lord, Jesus, Christ, the Spirit, in a loose way, in an empty way that has no meaning in it for you, in a repetitive way. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I think whoever was making up this on the internet must have been struggling for what to come up with for three fingers. So you make a W of your three fingers and it becomes watch your words. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It is a vile and unpleasant thing to hear the name of Christ or God taken in vain. Watch your words. Then we're on to the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment is a very important commandment, and it is one that receives quite a lot of media attention, especially in my part of the world, up in the islands of Lewis. There seemed to be this Sabbath observance. The fourth commandment, of course, is thou shalt not take remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day. And how do we remember that commandment as being the fourth commandment? Well, you watch my thumb. Thumb's got the right idea. He's lying down taking a rest. It's a Sabbath day. A rest is quite legitimate. It's part of the reason God gave it to us. And so you'll always remember the fourth commandment is about the Sabbath day because your thumb's taking a rest. Of course, much more than just sleeping it off is involved in the Sabbath day, but it might help you remember what comes when. The next commandment is honour thy father and thy mother. It's the fifth commandment. And if you think of this like a vow that we should all be taking, that you pledge that you will honour your father and your mother, that you will behave towards them as you should, and as to all the authority that God has placed over you, you vow that with all fingers up. It's five. Now, of course, we move on to the second half. Not the second tail, but the second half of the commandment. We move on to number six. Thou shalt not kill. Now, there's a problem here because I've run out of fingers on this hand. So we need the other hand to be up. And now I've got my six fingers up. Thou shalt not kill. And I was told on the internet that I'd make a gun out of this hand and shoot the other five, and they fell down dead. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. Seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, a more exploited commandment there probably isn't in our day. But in the seventh commandment, this becomes the floor of the church. There's two people taking their vows before God to forsake all others in their wedding vows. They are keeping the seventh commandment. Seventh commandment. The eighth commandment is one, a short one again. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Now we know what happens to the thief when he gets caught. He gets put behind bars. The eighth commandment leaves you behind bars. The ninth commandment, we're nearly there. See, you'll never forget these things now. The ninth commandment. The ninth commandment is, of course, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not tell about someone else what is not true. It also means you won't pass on any gossip. You'll treat your tongue to only what is true. And there's the nine. But you've got to watch the thumb. You've always got to watch the thumb. If you turn him round, there he is talking to these four over here about these five over here. And he's telling them bad things about them. And suddenly these four over here don't like these five over here anymore. He's lying. He's bearing false witness. And so often that happens, that the smallest lie can part friends. It's a vile thing to have lies coming out of your mouth. Watch your mouth. The last commandment is, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not desire wrongly. Desire what is not yours to desire. Thou shalt not covet. For this we need all fingers in both hands, because it is grasping at what is not yours to have. It's stretching out for and wanting and yearning after what is no business of yours to want. These are the Ten Commandments. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is that a bit ridiculous? Perhaps it is. But it's useful if it helps us to remember what comes when in the commandments of God. You see, to use the commandments, you have to be able to remember them. And I hope now you will remember them. You just need to look at your fingers. The other thing I want us to learn tonight is this. The commandments still apply. We need to be able to remember the commandments to use them. And we need to know that they still apply. Because if we can remember loads of stuff, but it makes no application to ourselves, it doesn't matter. After all, the commandments were given a long time ago. Things change. Many things have changed since then. And there are plenty of Christians who get the idea that the commandments are now out of date. That they're past their best. And that they themselves, as Christians, and the world in general, are quite free not to bother with them anymore. Or there are others who think that, well, Christians need to bother with the commandments, but nobody else does. How do we know the laws still apply? Is it true that they're out of date? No, it's not. And there are a number of reasons why we know that these laws still apply. Why do the laws still apply? They apply because God doesn't change. The laws that God gives stand because God doesn't change. Because these laws reflect God's character. God is opposed to lying, to killing, to stealing in His nature, in His character. He is jealous in His character, and He will not permit any other gods or any other idols to be set up. They reflect His character. And unless God is going to change His character, which He is not, then these laws still apply. The fourth commandment tells us that God is at rest in Himself. And so unless God is going to be disrupted and disturbed, then that command applies because it tells about who God is. The first commandment tells that God is singular. He is the only one, the only true God. And unless there becomes more than one true God, that commandment applies. And unless God stops opposing murder or lying or taking his name in vain, the commandments apply. Why do they apply? God doesn't change. And his commandments are not going to change either until the end of time. They also apply now because they stood before they were given to the Jews. We read in Deuteronomy there the reiteration of the commandments to the Jewish nation. The same commands are given in Exodus 20 at the foot of Mount Sinai. God speaking to the people these commandments. But they stood before then. They came into being before then. And if they came before the Jews were made a nation, they're not just for the Jews. They're for us all. Adam had these commandments. And he broke them because he disobeyed God. And the first summary of the first half of the law is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Cain broke the sixth commandment when he killed his brother. Noah also broke the sixth commandment by getting drunk. You can think about how that applies and why that's a breaking of the sixth commandment yourselves. Abraham broke the ninth commandment by lying that Sarah was his sister and not revealing the whole truth that she was his wife. Abraham broke the seventh commandment by sleeping with Hagar, which he ought not to have done. This commandment is not just for the Jews. The Jews were not formed as a nation at that time. It was given before Moses, and they outlast the Old Testament. The Bible itself says that the law is written on every heart. It's not just for the Jews. The commandments also still apply because Jesus obeyed them and Jesus believed in them. Jesus was often and repeatedly accused of breaking the law, but he never did. He never broke the law. He kept all of it. Every last part of it. In the Gospel according to John and chapter 8. And in verse 46, Christ can say this: "Which of you convinceth me or convicts me of sin? Which of you?" And nobody spoke. Christ didn't specify a sin, but nobody had anything to reply. Jesus kept all the commandments. He was accused of blaspheming. He was accused of breaking the Sabbath. He was accused of lying. He was accused of insurrection and trying to raise a rebellion against the Romans. But no charge could ever be proved. He had kept every law perfectly. And the law was good enough for Jesus to live by. But also, not only because Jesus obeyed the law, but the law stands because Jesus fulfilled the law and did not destroy it. The idea goes about that when Jesus came, he got rid of the law. He didn't. He tells us himself, "I'm not come to destroy the law. I'm not here to cast it down and throw it away. I'm here to fulfill it. I'm here to make it fuller in every aspect." And when Jesus started speaking about the law, he showed that the law had huge implications, not just narrow ones. He fulfilled the law and filled it out in every way. And lastly, we follow the law. We know they apply today because the New Testament church followed them. How do we know the New Testament church followed the law of God? Because liars were sorely punished. Just think of Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit about how much they sold their land for. They were both struck down and killed. Idols were warned against. John said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. They seemed to think that was still an important thing to do because they believed in the law of God still applying to them. Paul repeatedly condemns adultery because the law still stood. And relationships between fathers and children, between husbands and wives, were still to be observed properly, again according to the epistles, in keeping with the fifth commandment to honour parents. The Lord's Day was observed because the church gathered together repeatedly upon the first day of the week and set their collection by in store on the same day. Other gods had to be left behind when Paul said, and such were some of ye. The commandments stood for the New Testament church. So now you know, they are relevant today. They do apply to you. Not only are they relevant, more than that, they're binding. There's no choice in the matter. They're there. They're binding on you and on me and on him and her and them and all the people outside this building and all the people across the whole world. These commandments are binding on them. They apply today. And ignorance of the law has never been an excuse and still isn't. So now you know law applies to you and your fingers will help you remember the Ten Commandments. Now you're ready to start using the commandments. That's what you want to do tomorrow, as God will help us to do so. Thank you for listening. I know on a Friday night is not always so easy, but it's good to have you here. It's good to be here, and I trust the Lord will bless us in our souls as we go through these things.